Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, here's three names: Nancy O'Rahilly, Bridget Mary Rice, and Maureen O'Carroll. Just three women who have had a significant role to play in Irish history, yet this might well be the first time you've heard those names. The Mná 100 initiative aims to do something about that. We're joined on News Talk by the historian, Dr. Sinead McCool. Sinead, good afternoon to you.
Thanks very much for having me, Sean. Delighted to be with you.
We have actually talked about this on several occasions before, how all too often women are overlooked in the historical narrative because it's written by men, so to speak. So I almost feel it's kind of pointless going through the reasons again. They're probably pretty self-evident. So can we start by talking about some of these women and who they were? Who was Nancy O'Rahilly?
Yes, sure, Sean. I just wanted to say to you before that it's a website. So it's Mná100.ie is a website that's been set up by the Commemorations Unit, which is part of Minister Catherine Martin's department. So it's part of the decade of centenaries. People may be aware of that. Mm. So what we've done is we've featured a lot of things to do with women as we go to the 100 years. And so the reason that we're looking in particular, like you've just mentioned, Nanny O'Rahilly, she was a widow of the O'Rahilly, who was killed in 1916. But why we're looking at her is that she was really instrumental in an organization that's having its centenary, and it's known as the White Cross organization. Now, some people out there who are listening might actually vaguely know of that organization, but it supported a lot of people that were affected during the War of Independence who had been affected by the wars, mainly non-combatants, actually, because if people know the story of the War of Independence, they'll know that there was destruction of like 3,000 houses were knocked at that stage, of people who were suspected of being involved by the Black Catans. It was the burning of Cork. So, you know, all the things that have happened in the sort of the period we know as the Year of Terror in 1920, then there was fundraising in America, and then these women were supported. And Nanny O'Rahilly was central to that because she was actually an American who was when she met Michael O'Rahilly, she was on a visit to Kerry, the ancestral home of her mother, and she met a young medical student, as he was then, Michael O'Rahilly, and she was 16 years of age, and they fell in love, and of course, opposed by her family at the time. It's all written about in Aegon, her son's book, The Winding of the Clock. It's a really good story. And so the reason we're interested in her is really that she became central to this organization. She, you know, helped the connection with the States. She went over at one stage at the request of Michael Collins and did fundraising there. And then she basically continued for the rest of her life, you know, running this organization that supported the education of children. It allowed for operations for people who had been injured at the time, and just literally gave them support. It was, I mean, $5 million is what the Americans raised, and she was central to that.
Crikey, and $5 million in those days. It was a phenomenal amount of money.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, yes. and what age was she when she died?
Well, she lived in 1961, so the organization continued into the 1920s, but the Orphan Society lasted until 1947. So what's amazing, and you can see this in a film, we did a small film about the founding of the organization and the American involvement, and you can see her getting older, you know, from the time of the organization, and we have photographs of her sitting here around a table in old age. And I mean, the dedication alongside people like, Kathleen Clark, who was also another widow of the 1960s, Hannah Sheehy Skeffington was involved. These names are better known now to the public. And then there's these other women. And then the other one was Anya Cant, who actually ran the office in Dawson Street. And they basically said mothered the children right through to the, you know, the time. And I mean, the amount of children that would have gone through the hands. What the one thing the organization didn't want was they would not give money to people to emigrate. So the people who are descended from those children, and the ones that were educated at the time, you know, up on until that generation and maybe the generation after, remained in Ireland. So if there are people out there, they might be interested in the story of it, if they have any family folklore about this White Cross organization.
Right, that would be very interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be more or less within living memory of people. Right, absolutely. Okay. And when Nancy died, was it commemorated? Was it reported on? Did anyone erect a statue?
No. I suppose what was really interesting and poignant about it is that these women were very well known in the day, but in a sort of an administrative capacity. And what we're really interested in the decade of commemorations is to sort of look at people who did public service, whose role within it, people who shaped Ireland, and that's how we sort of termed it, is that how they shaped Ireland and that made us the country that we are today. But it's like the idea that they would have devoted their lives. So here she was, a widow of a 1916 leader, but he had run, you know, the volunteers. He didn't approve of the rising, and this is the O'Rahilly, but he he went out and he was shot and afterwards. And so she was pregnant, like so many of the other women were at the time. And you know, she had her son after that time, and she had four of the children, one who hadn't survived. So she was basically one of these widows who literally in her widowhood literally continued to work for others, for other families who were not maybe as well off as she was, because her family were very wealthy. They were mill owners, and as I said, they lived on Fifth Avenue, and you know, she had an income from her American background. And so and very interesting. And I was very lucky, Sean, years ago I met Aegon, who was her son, and he told me a lot of firsthand accounts of the family, and I'm delighted to have had that. You know, that's such a close connection. He lived into his 90s, so I was very lucky to have met him.
And Bridget Mary Rice, again, I suppose to a degree it's circumstances in her case, but it was a historic role she had to play.
No, absolutely. And one of the things that we have on the website is, so the idea is that it's a resource so that if you were doing your school project, if you're doing a special topic in Leaving Cert, or if you're just generally interested in women's history and, you know, university level, but it's for everybody, right? But the idea is that there's a 100-year journey, which we're saying is a document that is a living document. So if people want to say, you know, you've missed out on somebody, or there's something we want to add in here, we're open to that, you know, engagement with the public. But what part of this 100-year journey, we're documenting the women in politics. And we had a pop-up museum there that was in Dublin Castle and in other venues around the country. So that toured, but now we've made a virtual tour of that. So that tells the story of women in politics through the decades, which was part of the commemoration of the vote, which is in 2018, that centenary event. So when you go on the site, you can also see this 100-year journey. So you can find out about Bridget Mary Rice, who was at one point in the late 30s and into the 1940s, she was the only female TD on the government benches. And so she was a member for Fianna Fáil, and she was originally from Mayo. It's a very interesting life story, in that her father was the man who was responsible, the contractor, for building the church at the top of Kirkpatrick. So they were obviously get up and go people, and so she ended up marrying a teacher. She moved to the north of Ireland. Then obviously with partition that had just happened 100 years ago this month, they end up in Northern Ireland. Her husband's a nationalist. He ends up being arrested and he's on the Argenta. But when Fianna Fáil is established, he becomes a Fianna Fáil TD, and like so many of the men that were involved in that period of time, he died young, and he died when he was a TD. But women at the time, with the wives and the sisters and the mothers, were very involved in the organizing of the offices, because there wasn't the same level of sort of, you know, a constituency office. It was in the home. They helped all the people. They wrote all the letters. And so many of the women then, when it came time, there wasn't the widow's pension. So they went to work. And so Mary Bridget Rice, when her husband died, got his seat. And so she represented Monaghan. And so Mayo woman in Monaghan. And so there's this lovely sort of a sense that even though she wasn't from the place, that she was elected as their representative. And Hannah Sheehy Skeffington, years later, you'll often hear this phrase, used to describe about the women that were in Doyle, which were she called them the Silent Sisters. And this woman was considered one of the Silent Sisters, but I sometimes think that's a little bit unfair, because we know about the speaking rights, we know the way that the Fianna Fáil organization was run. They did speak in the Doyle, but they were very much working in their constituents, for the constituents, and they were very much the people who worked on the small little, you know, writing the forms and being in touch with the people. Because the reason we know this, and the reason that we know that how well loved they were by the voters, was because they were returned year after year. So she was in the Doyle for a long period of time, and so she ended up, you know, having a life of public service again. And that's why we want to talk about these women. It's so that they become familiar names, because sometimes the idea of somebody, you know, giving their life in public service isn't really celebrated. And part of the importance of the decade of commemorations is the foundation of a stable democracy, which we can't underestimate in any sense in any part of the world. So that's why I think that it's important. But the Manon 100 site, Sean, just to be really clear, is that it's got so many different women and so many different stories, and we're going to be adding to it over the next for the remainder of the decade through into the Civil War, when the very difficult material is going to be looked at. But it's really important to understand the canon or the timeline. And when you go to the history books, you don't see this written up in the same way, even though these are women who are like part of the history of the country as it was established. So with the 100-year timeline, people will have a sense of where everything fits, and then we'll be able to focus and highlight certain other aspects. So yeah. It's been a really fantastic project to be involved in. And I have to commemorate the team that I worked with in commemorations, who've done a fantastic job. So thanks to Kate and Maggie in particular. Thank you.
That will be, and people can look that up now and it'll be there forever, I assume, the website.
We're going to look at it for the decade of commemorations, as a living site for the next till 23. And I suppose one of the things that the minister has talked about in particular is this idea that that how we've looked at the women's programme has to be a legacy of this commemoration. And I suppose you may be, you know, from having spoken to me many times, this has been my area for many, many years. And I just feel really privileged to be able to make this resource available, because it's an animation of the history material in a way with other partners. So we have the National Cultural Institutions digitization. We have all the, you know, the wealth of material that's now come online, and we're just basically storytelling around that.
Sinead, thanks a million for speaking with us. Again, that was Dr. Sinead McCool there, the Irish historian and curator. That's our lot for today. Kieran's up next on The Hard Shoulder.
Moncrief on News Talk.